And now, ladies and gentlemen, he's not only a Steeler expert, he is an expert on a certain portion of Matt Catrillo's life. Where I'm talking, in the world of dirt, he's got dirt, lots of dirt. Alex Cazora, SteelersDepot.com. Alex, welcome. Start slinging the mud.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, I usually lead with the Steelers part before the Catrillo part. It does better on the resume. One of my favorite stories of Catrillo is the time that he was trying to make breakfast in his Eagles outfit, because that's all he has. And there was something stuck in the toaster or something. So while the toaster was plugged in, he stuck a metal knife to try to pry it out. And we had to prevent him from electrocuting himself. So I think I'm partially responsible for the reason why Catrillo was even here in the studio today.
Yeah, and you are that, sadly correct, friends, about that.
From 1961 to 2016 is the Eagles franchise in a nutshell. All right, So the Steelers get their first opportunity against the Dallas Cowboys. No Ben, there'll be no Dak or anything like that. Alex, how do you view the preseason? What do you look for? Are you looking for roster spots, 35 to 46? Are you looking for something else? What are you looking for?
No, I'm looking for all of that. I know a lot of people roll their eyes at the preseason and glaze over it and fall asleep on their couch watching the fourth quarter, but it means so much to those guys making the last couple of spots on the 53, even the practice squad guys that are, 54 to, 65, whatever the number is going to be this year for the practice squad. And so it's really important for those guys, and in particular for me, because I've been at training camp the last six practices for the Steelers, the guys that have been playing well in camp, can they translate that to a stadium? It's one thing to look good in camp against a team, a team you've been repping against every single day, not always, full contact. Can you translate that to a stadium environment against a brand new team where the nerves are bigger, the adrenaline's higher, the stakes are a lot more important, and can you show that same performance? Or the opposite, the guys that have struggled so far in camp, this is their opportunity to begin to turn that tide and come up clutch in these big moments. So it means a lot to a lot of guys, obviously not the veterans, not the established starters, but to everybody else, this game begins their Super Bowl, basically.
When you are a high draft choice, you were expected to be an immediate contributor. Do Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth look like they are going to be contributors out of the gate?
They do. I would say that both men have been as advertised from what their scouting report was coming out of college. Najee Harris is going to be the Steelers' three-down running back. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He can block. He can catch. He's conditioned. That's the important thing. We talk about the talent, the skill set, how high you jump, how fast you run, things like that. But are you conditioned? Are you in shape to get ready to endure the number of snaps and a 17-game season plus preseason actions of potentially 21 games? And I think both men are. And Freiermuth is catching absolutely everything. His hands were his best trait coming out of Penn State, and you throw the ball near his way, he's going to come down with it. He's got a shoulder injury, so I'm not 100% sure if he'll play tonight or not. That happened late Tuesday's practice. But for in-season stuff, Freiermuth's going to play probably about 500, 550 snaps on the season, but Harris is going to be the guy from the word go.
Among other draft choices, who's made an initial impression to you that now you're anxious to see actually play in a preseason game?
That's a good question. It's really all those guys. It's hard to pick one. I think Dan Moore Jr. has gotten a lot more reps as the first team left tackle than we anticipated, because the presumed starter, Chukwuma Okorafor, has yet to practice, at least in team sessions so far in camp. So he's had some ups and downs, and how he handles speed rushes, I think, will be the number one thing I'll be watching for from him tonight. And then there's also a really good punter battle too between the incumbent, the established veteran Jordan Berry, and the rookie Presley Harvin III. Those guys have had some good practices and some good battles, but it's hard to really replicate special teams inside a practice setting, really, once you get into a real game and there's a real rush, and again, that adrenaline and the stakes are a lot higher, there's a crowd, that's when things really ramp up. So that's a really close battle right now. I think Harvin would have the edge if he can find consistency, because he certainly has a absolutely massive and booming leg, and he's been just displaying that at Heinz Field so far.
Alex, what about Dwayne Haskins? I mean, obviously Mason Rudolph goes in and he's the established number two guy. What do you want to see from Dwayne Haskins, and can he push Rudolph for two before it's all said and done?
Haskins is one of those guys, like I mentioned earlier, the guys that have played really well in camp. Can they translate that and carry that over to a stadium, you know, real game environment? And that'll be the question with him, because I suspect Dwayne Haskins has always looked good in practice since he was like 11 years old, because the physical talent is immense. So can he read zone coverage? Can he make tight window throws? Can he lead receivers on what Matt Canada, the new OC, calls rack throws, run after catch throws and opportunities for his receivers? But camp has been really strong for him so far. In terms of the quarterback battle, I think Rudolph is still the number two right now, but I think with the way Haskins has played, he has at least cracked that door open and at least introduced the conversation. Could there be a change or a shift there? So if Haskins plays as well as he's been playing in practice this preseason, I think it will become a real conversation, but we'll have to, you know, see what tonight looks like and kind of go from there.
Right. Here's an interesting one that's just all theory and conjecture and sticks with the number two quarterback. Does Mason Rudolph stay at two because of Mike Tomlin, or does Dwayne Haskins have a shot at unseating him as two because of fresh eyes of Matt Canada?
That's a really good question, and you're right, it is conjecture, and we'll just kind of have to see how this preseason goes. I think the important context here to remember is because a lot of people want to judge Rudolph and his six practices versus Dwayne Haskins and his six practices, and if you just judge those in a vacuum, Haskins would be the guy, but Rudolph's a fourth-year guy in the NFL and with his team. So there's a lot bigger body of work to take into account than just what's happened the last 2 weeks. So again, Haskins has been impressive. I'm excited to see him hopefully in a two-minute drill tonight. Ultimately, though, you know, Tomlin's going to have final say, and this team still remains high on Mason Rudolph, right or wrong, and so Haskins will have to play really well to change his depth chart.
T.J. Watt is going through an interesting situation because he has a chance to be the first $30 million non-quarterback in the NFL. There's a lot of stories circulating about that. What do you think about that possibility for him?
I think it's a real one. I don't know exactly where that number is going to come in at. He's going to be the highest paid defensive player in football and beat out Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa. So that puts you about, 27.5, 28. Will he hit 30? I think he certainly could. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. He's not been working in team sessions so far. I'm not 100% sure why. It could be because of the contract. It could be for other minor reasons. But it's well-deserved. I write T.J. Watt a blank check and say, you know, whatever you get is well-deserved, because he's been, to me, one of the most feared and probably the second best defensive player in football the last two seasons behind Aaron Donald. And so there's no way to overpay a guy like that.
All right, so let's take the end of last season. There's no doubt that T.J. Watt, I think, made Bud Dupree better. But I don't think it hurt T.J. Watt having Bud Dupree over there. When Dupree wasn't there, what did you think of Watt's performance because Dupree wasn't on the other side?
Honestly, I thought it was about the same, because although Dupree is a really good player and came on strong last season, T.J. Watt's still T.J. Watt. And if you have a choice between T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree, you're doubling T.J. Watt and you're taking your chances with Bud Dupree or almost literally anyone else in the league opposite. So certainly Watt saw a lot of double teams, and Buffalo always has good game plans to try to neutralize those guys. And they play against Buffalo week one this year, so we'll see what the approach is. But I really don't think it changed too much. I would just say in general, the whole defense got real quiet down the stretch, Watt included, where they just didn't get a lot of pressure. They certainly didn't get turnovers, and that was one of the big reasons why this team collapsed at the end, and including that wild card loss to Cleveland. So, Watt got quiet, but the whole defense really, you know, took a step back.
How do you view the offensive line right now? Because there has been changeover.
It's a big old incomplete. I wish I had a good answer for you. Basically, three of the five guys projected starters for week one have not practiced or barely practiced, and three of those five guys, maybe even four of those five, won't play tonight. So I wish I could learn a whole lot more about this group so far, but it's been a lot of backups and a lot of guys have been dinged up, and it doesn't seem to be anything super long-term, and they're being careful with some guys like right tackle Zach Banner, but it is the biggest question mark on this team to me heading into the season. In 2 weeks in the camp, I really don't have any new answers for you, and I doubt we're going to get a whole lot more after tonight's game.
Alex, what's your number two concern going in?
the secondary, just some of the sub-package roles. And I've definitely seen some positivity there, some young guys stepping up, like James Pierre, a second-year corner who's having a really strong camp, intercepting passes, making splash plays. They lost some guys in the secondary. They lost Mike Hilton. They released Steven Nelson. And so from a starter standpoint, there's still talent there. Joe Hayden, Cam Sutton, of course, Minka Fitzpatrick. But some of those sub-package roles, who's going to be your nickel corner? Who's going to be your dime defender? Who's going to be able to rotate with Minka Fitzpatrick to allow him to be versatile and not be stuck as the center field free safety? So I think there's talent there. There's options there. But some of those guys still have to develop and emerge. And so O-line, secondary are the two biggest concerns with the team right now.
Okay, so we talked about other draft choices. There are a free agent or two that's come in here because every once in a while one of those guys does something and they can make their way to a special team. Anybody in the free agent group right now that you think bears watching over the next couple of preseason games?
I don't have a particular name for you just because the market's so thin at this point, but I can give you some positions. I still think safety could be an option, add an extra depth guy there, potentially even guard, just some of the unprovenness of some of those guys that may not be ready for, you know, next man up type of duty. But Kevin Colbert's not a stranger to making trades. Very few GMs have made more trades this time of year than Kevin Colbert in the month of August. So I think you evaluate this group for the first 2 weeks of game action and then potentially make a move from there. But I would say that maybe safety and guard are the two areas to look at. And of course, injuries can and will impact those equations.
But what I mean is on the current group, like you're watching practice, they're a free agent or two, you sit back and go, okay, he may not have been drafted, but you know, he bears a longer look.
Oh, an undrafted guy?
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone has really emerged yet. There was definitely a crop of undrafted free agent guys in the secondary that were interesting. Shakur Brown from Michigan State, Lamont Wade, a local kid from Penn State. But I think it's just probably too early to try to gauge that super well. But I think obviously preseason action tonight is where, you know, some guys that can really make plays and can step up. So I think that remains to be an open question.
I'm glad you mentioned Lamont Wade. That's good. I'm glad you did, because you know what? Somebody actually I think they could put on special teams. You could help them.
Yeah, and he's versatile. He can play some safety, play some slot corner. Had a great interception early on in camp, and so there are definitely spots available. So young guys can step up and maybe capture that fifth cornerback spot or fifth safety spot. So if they play well, they can make their way on the roster.
Okay, what's the cutdown schedule now? When's the cutdown schedule here?
Yeah, they got to go from 90 to 80. I believe it's August 24th. Don't quote me on that, but it's somewhere around there later August. And then the final cut down from 80 to 53 right before, right after the fourth preseason game, I should say.
Alex, an absolute pleasure. Appreciate it very much. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, guys. Take care.